From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Good morning on this Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio as always. Good to be back and settled. Maybe Neil's a little more rested today. Not grumpy, just ready to go.
Not grumpy at all. I got rest two nights in a row. You have to understand Saturday night. I'll try to put everything in central time zone. No, I won't. I'll keep it in Pacific zone because it's easier. So the game starts at 7:30 Pacific. It ends about 11 Pacific. Ole Miss was slow to the media room, honestly. I don't know why.
Which is weird for a road game. Not normal.
Usually it's fast.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, woof, he's there. Like, Freeze would be there 2-3 minutes. Seriously. It took Matt a while. And then other people a while. Phil Longo showered before he came to the room. So by the time I got back up into the press box, it's midnight. And I still had to write. I got out of there about, I don't know, it was 1:15 Pacific. Had to take an Uber back to San Francisco. So I got to my room about 1:45 Pacific. And I'm, as you know, you get there and you're wired a little bit. There was some cold pizza in my refrigerator in my room. I had a slice of pizza and a little glass of wine to try to, like, unwind. Got in the bed at about 2:45 Pacific with the alarm set for 4:45 Pacific. I think I slept an hour or so. I tossed and turned. Got up. Got to the airport. You have to wake yourself up to get to the airport. I get to the airport and I'm sitting there and I'm awake because you don't want to fall asleep at the gate. So I'm working on 10 thoughts sitting there at 5:50 in the morning. I think I slept an hour and a half to 2 hours on the flight from San Francisco to Chicago. I connected at Midway to go to Memphis. And then I woke up and I even had one of those little neck roll things. And I still can't sleep.
Are you using one of those?
Well, I got one specifically because I said I'll need to sleep.
All right.
And
so last night, well, night before for sure, but then you've taken 2 days to kind of completely go, okay.
The first night at about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you were angry.
I was mean. Like, didn't want to talk to anybody. Wanted people. I was trying to get finished with my work so that I could go to bed. And last night was a little more normal. I watched the damn Brewers, and then I watched Monday Night Football until the Giants had a fourth down, didn't convert it. It was 24-10, and I said good night. Click. I don't know what was the final 24-10.
I don't even know. I went to bed too.
And so that was it. So, but yeah, I'm more back to normal now.
All right, we're going to talk a good bit of football today. We're also going to talk with Matt Moscona from Baton Rouge. He's probably had a pretty good couple radio days, or at least a good day yesterday. Probably have another good day today.
Can you imagine yesterday?
Could be an even better day, but Matt's a nice guy. So we'll talk to Matt about his...
Phone line's open in Baton Rouge. Call in. The producer goes, oh, God.
Sit back and let it go.
Oh, so, yes, sir.
All right, we'll get to Matt here in a little bit. Got about 30 minutes before we go to Matt on the show. Unless I've decided to put him in a different spot in the podcast. But either way, 30 minutes before we call him, as it's 8:10 or so right now. Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford, daiquiris, $3.99 for the smallest one, but it's still 20 ounces. Get a lot of daiquiri for $3.99 or so.
Yeah.
All the way up to 44 ounce if you really, really, really would like a lot of daiquiri. Orange mango, hurricanes, grape, watermelon, strawberry.
Oh, they have the hurricane flavor now?
They've always had hurricane.
Okay, good. I like the hurricane flavor.
Yeah, I got hurricane, so... Check that out, Oxford Exxon.
I like
ribs, lunch specials, $4.99. All those things there. Crystal hand spun shakes, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, Oreo.
You can shake up your five for five for a dollar with a homespun shake.
Does that make it a 6 for 6, or is that part of your 5 for 5?
It's a good question.
So do I get five items for $6 or do I get six items for $6?
I think you get six items for $6. Regardless, even if it's only five for $6, that's still a hell of a good deal when it includes a milkshake.
So I can shake it up for $1.
You can shake it up for $1.
Okay.
Oreo, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
That is correct.
Your choice. Your choice.
You're not a big milkshake guy.
I mean, I love a good milkshake.
Oh, do
no,
you?
No, but I can't do that.
Can't do that?
No.
Okay.
I'd have a nervous breakdown.
Oh, gosh. Where you shouldn't have a nervous breakdown, though, is in car shopping because we've got Clark Ford in Amory.
That's right. We can make car shopping so simple. You call Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Corey will give you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, and then you can get right to the bottom line. No haggling. It's such an easy deal. I know that dryer is so loud. It's right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you, really. You're going to get your quote, and you can ruin your day and ruin the whole deal by calling 4,000 dealers everywhere, only to find out that the deal you got at Clark Ford was indeed the best deal. Or you can take our word for it and take the word of so many other podcast listeners who have bought from Clark Ford. Want to make it even better? Tell Corey at the end of the deal, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
All right, Tuesday morning. A couple of different topics today. Thing I talked about yesterday we might get to. Might have to get tabled again as things continue to happen. But it's okay. Where you want to go? What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about?
I thought there was some interesting interactions on Twitter yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
Our friend Corey Keyes.
Yeah.
Corey no longer at Ole Miss.
Former basketball assistant.
Yeah. Corey's a good dude. Corey got involved in a Twitter conversation with Dan Wolkin. Hey, Dan. I just thought it was interesting. On a lot of levels. One, Dan, first of all, I appreciate you listening. We're getting lots of listeners lately, not just Dan, but I think Dan's in the Atlanta area. We have a huge listening audience in Atlanta. Thank you to all of you. It's making business good. Thanks. Texas, where else? Nashville, all over Mississippi, doing really well in Jackson. Like, if you're the guy, frankly, that runs Soulshine, where you're big in Jackson, you're big in Nashville, you're big in Memphis area, right?
I think it's Oxford, Nashville, and Jackson.
Okay, Oxford's what I meant to say, not Memphis. Oxford. It makes sense since I'm sitting here in Oxford. You really ought to call us. I think we could work well together. We're in your big markets. We're big in your big markets. So anyway, it's fascinating to me that a very talented national college football writer for USA Today is on our podcast first thing in the morning. I mean, I'm glad. It speaks volumes for us, but it's fascinating nonetheless. Because frankly, I mean, let's keep this real here for a minute. Ole Miss is not going to the postseason. This football team's not very good, and it's not going to win many games. The COI is done. It's in the books. Nothing with the NCAA case is really going to change now. Everything's in the record. Everyone has had an opportunity to respond. The COI asked for Leo Lewis to be in Covington, and to Leo's credit, he was. He was there for 2 days, and it's my understanding that he answered a lot of questions. Hugh Freeze has had his day in court. Barney Ferrer has had his day in court. Ole Miss has had an opportunity. Ole Miss long said that it looked forward to having its opportunity to answer, and it has now had that opportunity. It's done. We're now waiting for the COI to issue a ruling in 5 to 7 weeks. Therefore, it's kind of difficult for me to imagine why Ole Miss is at the top of his agenda, but If it is, it is. It's that's interesting. We really are nowhere near a coaching search yet. People say, I want some coaching search rumors. It's almost impossible to give you many coaching search rumors right now because the truth is, until we see what the NCAA penalties are, until we see who the people who ultimately will be making the hire, I think it's going to be Ross Bjork. I have no reason to believe it won't be Ross Bjork. But frankly, if it's a two-year bowl ban, then I don't know who makes all the decisions. So there's a lot of ifs out there before we can really get into a full-fledged coaching search. There will be some coaching search rumors, no doubt, in the next few weeks. I've already started hearing some things. Chase has heard some things. But I think that search is still in the beginning phases.
Yeah, we're a little ways there. We will bring you what we can. There's a couple things we're working on that hopefully we can get submitted in the next 48 hours or so. How this kind of started.
Okay.
Is yesterday, and really kind of a throwaway comment, as we were having a normal Monday podcast where we talk about all sorts of crap.
Yeah.
We mentioned Jeff Brohm.
The Purdue coach.
Yeah. And Dan points out something that actually my brother had pointed out to me the night before, and I was negligent in not mentioning it on yesterday's podcast, frankly.
Your brother Dylan Edwards.
Yes.
Yes.
Says that Brohm, if you hire him, I believe before December 5th, but it's this season, whatever, whatever the date is, Brohm would essentially owe Purdue either $4.9 or $5.9 million. I think it's $4.9 million.
That's a lot of money.
So he's got a very hefty buyout in his first year at Purdue. Dan yesterday tweets 21 hours ago, since this seems to be a hot topic today in SEC land, Jeff Brohm would owe Purdue $4.9 million if it walked away after the season, which, again, I believe is correct. And then somebody says, dang, are we already talking about this? Tweeting back at Dan, Matt Glenesic, I don't know, whatever.
Hey, Matt.
Says, only in the sense that some SEC talking heads are on the, quote, Jeff Brohm is about to get paid thing.
Well, since we're doing that, let me make sure that I'm being very clear. If I'm Ole Miss, Jeff Brohm is one of my calls. Do I believe Ole Miss can get Jeff Brohm? I don't.
Matt Glesnick is the sports editor of the Indianapolis Star.
Oh, congratulations. He'll be covering a couple of coaching searches. The Colts I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And probably the Pacers.
Maybe Purdue.
Maybe Purdue. Because here's the thing. Do I think Ole Miss can get Jeff Brohm? I don't. I don't. Why? Because I think he's going to have more appealing opportunities. And he might decide to stay at Purdue. But let's just say Texas A&M decided to go the Jeff Brohm route, okay? $4.9 million is not going to stop them.
No, I mean, no,
that's all I'm saying.
Is there a limit to where it's not cost effective? I mean, in subsequent tweets where Dan has a point, depending on the school for sure, says, I know people think money grows on trees, but a $10 million buyout for the old coach, $5 million buyout for the new coach, and then pay $5 million as a salary, that's not nothing. No, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and there are only a handful of schools that can do it.
Yeah.
But I just named one that can.
A&M.
Yes.
And Ole Miss would not have a buyout of any size for Matt Luke.
No, and Hugh Freeze had no buyout. Matt Luke's getting $500,000 to babysit the program through Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, Matt is continuing to make his $650 as he would if Hugh Freeze had remained the head coach, and then he's getting essentially lump sum of $500,000 over the course of the football season.
Yes,
I think it's $125 per month for 4 months. If I'm
according right. To Ross Bjork, they can do it. However, they have to give him $500,000 in whatever arrangement they came up with by Thanksgiving night. So he's getting $500,000 to run to apply to be the bridge. That's what he's getting. So for Ole Miss, there is no buyout of the old coach. I don't think Jeff Brohm would be interested in Ole Miss given the jobs that are going to be out there competing with Ole Miss to hire people.
And the fact that even to a smaller semblance than a 2-year bowl ban, no matter what, they're going to have some level of handicap.
Well, yeah, they're going to have scholarship limitations at the very least. But that doesn't stop me from saying that if I'm Ross Bjork, Jeff Brohm's getting him a phone call.
To me,
let me say this about the Ole Miss search real quick before we continue on this deal. I don't care. In this case, this is where I wish this Neil had existed like in high school and college because I probably would have had a better experience. I don't care how many pretty girls say no to me. I'm going to ask them all. I'm asking every one of these girls to the prom until one says yes.
You ask out 10 tens and 9 say no and one says yes, you just have a 10.
You got a 10. And I'm parading around with the 10 on my arm on prom night instead of doing what
you don't have
did.
The jersey on that has the 9 that said no down the front of your shirt.
No.
And those 9, they're going to be kind of complimented and thank you and move away.
You're not going to the Louisiana Tech LSU baseball game instead.
Is that really?
That's what I did.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd they play?
LSU played Louisiana Tech in Ruston.
Oh, sorry, LSU, Louisiana Tech, sorry.
Yeah. He was then Joey Bell, became Albert Bell.
I've heard of him.
Played in that game. He was good.
Okay. Sorry, go move ahead.
I'm asking out all the 10s if I'm Ross Bjork. I'm not worried about public no's. I don't care. I don't care. Because a lot of people, oh, no, we did not offer the job to Coach. Yeah, we offered it to him. We sure did. We sure as hell did.
Love him.
Loved him. Would have loved to have had him. We found about 10 people we really liked.
Went down a list.
And we went down the damn list. It is what it is. We're through being small time. Done. That's what I would say. But I did not say that Jeff Brohm's the next coach at Ole Miss or that Jeff Brohm would want to go to Ole Miss. In fact, as popular as it would be to say that, and I've developed a pretty good reputation for telling people what I really think, and I don't think Ole Miss can get him. But I'd sure as hell offer it to him. Hell, I'd offer the damn thing to Bob Stoops, knowing he would say no. I'd still offer it to him.
Bob Stoops?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hell yeah, I would.
Kind of a what? Why not thing, right?
Yeah. What if? What if? It'd be fun on Twitter to watch that get misconstrued. I suspect Dan's triggered for one reason, and I get it. He has been the subject of Ole Miss Twitter, and having been there a couple of times, I can tell you that they are the nastiest, meanest group of Twitter anywhere. They'll come after your kids. I've experienced it. And I suspect with Dan, they're going after something and it's ugly. And I understand being bitter about it. And I think that's where a lot of this is. He's mad. Ole Miss fans have gotten after him. And they can be – I know lots of you are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But I've been the subject of Ole Miss Twitter. And it was vicious.
Yeah, we're talking about dregs here in every fan base where you're not talking about the people listening to the podcast.
No. Every fan base has great people and horrible people. Every fan base has extremes and fringes. I'm talking about Twitter, the Twitter people. MSU Twitter people are for example, petty. Ole Miss Twitter people, when they're angry, it's nasty. I've seen it. And he's got – and I went through a summer of being pissed. I get it. But I think that's where a lot of this is.
The bigger thing with Brohm, and this is a question I don't know, and now look, money changes elements of things if you don't have that offer somewhere else. Maybe on the whole Twitter subject during this yesterday, in the middle of Corey stuff and just some independent tweets that Dan had, let's also remember the SEC isn't for everyone, and I don't mean on the field. Not every coach wants to fish in those waters. Some truth to that. Some guys that go, eh.
What waters?
You know, just
what are we talking about?
Wavy. It's current.
I'm confused.
There's a tide. What do you mean?
And while we're talking about cheating, let me say this. I did not say, Dan, that there's no cheating in the NOA. There's lots of cheating in the NOA. There's a lot of sloppy in the NOA.
You want the quote on that?
Yeah, let's get it right.
All right. Corey had said, I mean, you brought up this Brohm topic because you're listening to an Ole Miss podcast that dropped in the last hour and mentioned Brohm 15 minutes in. And Dan's response was, indeed, Neil's delusion that there's, quote, no cheating in the NOA is good AM entertainment.
There is cheating in the NOA. There's one accusation. Well, actually, let's go through it real quick. It's one major accusation of pay for play in the NOA.
Leo Lewis.
Leo Lewis. I won't be shocked. Let me say it this way. Let's get this quote exactly right, Chase. So look at me and hear me. Don't get on your computer.
Yep.
I won't be shocked if Leo Lewis's accusation of pay for play against Ole Miss is either thrown out or ignored.
Mitigated to some degree.
Yes. So if you take Leo Lewis out, and for the record, I think Leo Lewis got paid by multiple schools. My source on that is Leo Lewis. If you take that out, the closest thing you have to pay for play in the NOA, not in the accusations, not in Twitter land, in the NOA is Herbert Moore. And if you want to tell me that the recruitment of Herbert Moore changed the axis of SEC football power, I'm all ears. Herbert Moore and Bobby Billingsley got a hotel room in Birmingham, a meal at Bob Baumhauer's Wings, and a sweatshirt when Ole Miss was playing Pittsburgh in the Compass Bowl.
And there's an allegation in there that a booster paid tons of $800.
There's an allegation that a booster, Michael Strogny, paid Laramie Tunsil's stepdad, Lindsey Miller, $800 after Laramie was already in school.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, hey, I'll give you this $800 if Laramie will sign with Ole Miss. It's, I'll give you this $800 primarily because I'm a jock-sniffing booster who desperately wants to be in Laramie's inner circle.
$800 would have been a good deal for Laramie.
Yeah.
Been cost-effective, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's in the NOA. I didn't say there's no cheating. There's a lot of cheating. There's a lot of sloppy. Technically, letting Laramie sleep on your couch is cheating.
Walter Hughes cheating.
Walter Hughes technically is cheating. Yes. Michael Strogny giving $800 to Lindsey Miller is cheating. Technically, they cheated on Laramie Tunsil's official visit when they gave the wrong person the hotel room because they didn't know who was Laramie's dad. It's reality. But that's not pay for play. It's inexperience. It's sloppiness. But it's not pay for play. And so when you talk about swimming in those waters, the reason that Ole Miss sucks right now, Dan and anyone else, is because they lost one defensive battle after another on the recruiting trail trying to swim in those waters.
And sign running backs that either had previous injuries or had injuries once they got on campus.
Look, Ole Miss had a commitment from Peyton Barber. When Jordan
plays for the Bucks now.
When Jordan Wilkins got hurt, Auburn said, hey, see ya, and went after Peyton Barber. Ole Miss was left to pick up Jordan Wilkins because they lost Peyton Barber. It wasn't a trade, Dan, or anyone else. Am I accusing Auburn of buying Peyton Barber? No. Am I saying I'd be shocked to find out that something happened there? No. Not even a little. not even a teensy weensy bit. There was swimming in those waters. Those waters had sharks in them. And not just land sharks, shark sharks.
Whole other topic for later.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. There are lots of kids playing at Alabama that Ole Miss will play in the next 11 days from now. A lot of kids at Alabama that Ole Miss tried to swim in those waters.
Good spot to take a break, let Neil get his blood pressure back down.
I'm good.
I don't have a blood pressure medicine.
I'm totally good.
MasterCut's Lawn and Landscape, Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas, skeeter beaters for all of North Mississippi, helping you out with that problem. No job too large or small. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. Maybe do holiday lighting during the holiday season. So get a free quote, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com. I use them. You should too. And when you sign up for an annual contract, first cut's on them when you mention the podcast.
Matt, by the way, is about ready to go, so we can call him early here in just a second. Yeah. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast. You get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. If you're a buyer, Michael Oswalt has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. There's a reason for that. People like to list with Michael Oswalt with Tom Smith Land and Homes. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, and get it sold for you. Tom Smith Land and Homes is in the midst of its fourth record-breaking year. The market's hot. If you're on the fence, you're ready to sell, call Michael. He's ready to work with you. He'll put his money where his mouth is and market your property. Whether it's drone videos or whatever it takes, Michael will put his money where his mouth is to get your property sold. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want with the personal touch. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% APY, 3-year triple option CDs at 2.01% APY. With the 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
All right, a couple more topics we'll get to in a little bit. First now, since he's ready early, we'll go ahead and talk to Matt Moscona on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Yeah, so Matt, did you just turn it over to the phone lines yesterday morning? Take me through the first 2 or 3 minutes of your show. What did we do yesterday?
Well, I opened with sort of a monologue, my take of the game, and then after that, it was callers. And I'm not a caller driven show. It's not really the format that I do, but I do believe that there are certain days where you have to let people have their say. Obviously, when Les Miles was fired, when Ed Orgeron was hired, and pretty much every year when they lose the first game of the season, that Monday is going to be a pretty caller-heavy show. But as you might imagine, you lose by 30 to Mississippi State, and that show kind of prepped itself.
Summarize your monologue for me. Forgive me, I haven't had an opportunity to listen.
So, I believe that in college football, just like in life, there are classes. And LSU and Mississippi State are not in the same class. They're in the same conference, even in the same division, but they're not in the same class. State is traditionally last or second to last in the SEC in revenue. LSU is always in the top five as far as revenue, facilities, boosters, fan support, national brand, any tangible resource you can imagine, LSU laps Mississippi State. That's why over the history of that rival, LSU has won 70% of them and has won 23 of 25. And it's not just LSU and State. This happens all over college football. Florida's beaten Kentucky 30 straight years. They're in the same division. They're in the same conference. They're not the same. Losses can happen. And losses are okay. Fans don't think so, but losses are okay, especially sometimes the other team is better than you. You hit that cycle and the ball bounces a funny way. But in the history of the LSU-Mississippi State series, which LSU has not played any school in the country more than it has played Mississippi State, Saturday was the worst loss for LSU ever in this rivalry. It is never, it's okay to lose. It's never okay to lose to Mississippi State by 30 under any circumstances ever.
And it could have been worse.
That was a failure at every level of the program on Saturday.
You took a lot of heat. You had the testicular fortitude to there on the airwaves in Baton Rouge when LSU hired Ed Orgeron. You had either the guts or the stupidity or both to say you got a family to feed. I mean,
people forget that.
You said this was a bad hire, that it was a lazy, emotional hire, that they should have gone much bigger, that Ed Orgeron would have waited. They could have hired Ed Orgeron 3 weeks later. I was in the press box in Berkeley on Saturday night as that game ended, and I thought of you, and I thought, Matt's too good of a guy to come on and say, I told you so. But I'm curious, of the callers yesterday, how many said, hey, Matt, kind of sorry for all the things I said and thought about you over the last few months?
Well, lots did, but you're right in the sense that I wouldn't say I told you so, because one game is not going to define Ed Orgeron's career, at least I hope it does, at LSU. And there were even people inquiring about Orgeron's buyout, which, by the way, is $12 million this year. God bless his agent, and more stupidity from LSU management to give that man a $12 million buyout. But it's neither here nor there. The point is, what's done is done. You've hired Ed Orgeron. He's your guy. And he deserves more than a game and more than a season to prove he can get it right. And to this point, he's done a lot right. He's made good hires on his staff. He's continued to recruit well. He's engaged the fans. He's brought back former players. There's excitement around the program. And all that's wonderful, but you have to win. And Saturday was an awful look all the way around. And he deserves the opportunity to get it right, to see if he can get it right. And maybe he will. And you know, if you want to be fair, you can look at some of the greatest coaches in college football history that have struggled in year one of the job. I mean, I could even look recently at a guy like Dabo Swinney at Clemson. His first 2 years at Clemson, he lost 5 and 6 games respectively in those 2 years. Now he's got one of the best programs in the country. Nick Saban, in his first year at LSU, lost to UAB. His first year at Alabama, he was 6 and 6 and lost to ULM. Yeah, there are just examples like that all over college football of really good coach taking over a program, some growing pains initially, but once he gets it righted, once he gets the for Orgeron, maybe some initial growing pains here, some transitional pains. But, you know, guys, LSU in 1992 under Curly Hallman was 2-9. They were 1-7 in the SEC. The only reason they didn't wear the collar in the league that year was because Mississippi State was on the schedule. Literally the worst team in LSU football history beat Mississippi State. I can never fathom losing to that school by 30 points.
But it wasn't just the score, though. It was from what I saw, it was in every single facet, it was domination. And frankly, had Dan Mullen wanted to score more points, he could have. The truth is, at some point in that game, Dan Mullen in his head said, we've got Georgia in a week. I need to save some stuff. I need to pull some things back.
The other part, Neil, too, is in 2014, State had that team with Dak Prescott and Josh Robinson and Bernardrick McKinney. They're a really veteran team, like 5 seniors on the offensive line. And they came into Baton Rouge and they handled LSU pretty good. And then he pulled all of his starters, and LSU scored a bomb touchdown, and then State fumbles a shotgun snap. LSU gets it, scores again. You blink, and it's a 5-point game. that wasn't a 5-point game. I think Dan Mullen was very conscious of, man, let's play it safe. Let's run out the clock. Let's make sure we're letting the, you know, let's not have a UCLA, Texas A&M scenario here, which was smart to do. But yes, if he wanted to keep the pedal down, I don't think it was so much about looking to the future. I think it was about this one's in hand. Let's get to the locker room and not have any funny business happen.
Yeah. So you've seen this LSU team. I'm sure that the other topic of conversation on your show yesterday was the quarterback position. We've now seen a year and a quarter of Danny Etling. I think it's safe to say he is what he is.
Yep.
People are talking about Miles Brennan, who this time last year was quarterbacking on the Mississippi Gulf Coast at the high school level. I like Miles. I've met Miles. Chase has met Miles. He's a great kid. But Miles is a skinny kid who probably could really use, in an ideal world, a redshirt year. What's going on at quarterback? And now that you've seen potentially how bad LSU can be, what's realistic for this team?
So I'll take those one at a time. I'll start with the quarterbacks. I actually, your timing's good because I published a column this morning at Gridiron Now, and the crux of it is I'm ready to see Miles Brennan and Lowell Narcisse, the two freshmen. And this is the furthest thing, guys, from a knee-jerk reaction that it can possibly be, because I'm the guy who always says if you play a freshman, you're going to lose 4 or 5 games. Maybe you're building for the future, and maybe you'll be better down the line because of it. But, you know, the Jalen Hurts situation is the outlier. When he's surrounded by so much talent, he comes in, he's a really dynamic athlete at the position and wins the conference and the Offensive Player of the Year award. I always err on the side of play the veteran. You know, I watched Jarrett Lee throw 7 pick sixes in 2008 as a redshirt freshman, and it wrecked him for the rest of his career. But Saturday night, after I watched Mississippi State bludgeon LSU, did my post-game responsibilities, and I flipped on the TV, and I caught the fourth quarter of Texas-USC. And I'm watching this kid who I never even heard of, Sam Ellinger from Texas, carve up a top-5 team on the road, and with 5 minutes to play, leads them on a 14-play, 91-yard drive to score the go-ahead touchdown with 45 seconds left. And I thought to myself, now I know Danny Etling couldn't do that. Like, I know that. Like, Danny's a nice player, but he can't do that. I don't know if Miles Brennan or Lowell Narcisse could, but it's time to find out. And I thought about Jake Fromm being a freshman at Georgia and winning in South Bend. Of course, thought about Hurts. And guys don't stick around for 5 years anymore. Quarterbacks don't redshirt and wait until their fifth year to see if they can get an opportunity. They don't play, they leave. So you're better off finding out what you have with these guys now. I know, so this is sort of dovetails into the next question you asked, Neil, which is what's realistic for this team. I picked this team 8-4, and I still think that that's probably realistic for this team. It seems ludicrous after Saturday, but there's a ton of talent on that team. They've got two first-round picks in Geis and Key. They've got 4 upperclassmen on the offensive line. You got 2 fifth-year seniors on the defensive line and Arden Key. You got a senior, 2 senior linebackers. One of them's a 6th-year senior. You've got talent in the set. Like, LSU's got enough talent to win. They have the talent to beat anybody on their schedule, but clearly they can't put it all together. They have major issues. So they're going to have highs, and they're going to have lows. What I know is that if you play Danny Etling, you're going to lose 4 games this year. If you play Miles Brennan or Narcisse, maybe you lose 4 games again this year. But maybe he's dynamic like Jalen Hurts, and maybe you win some games you're not supposed to. And the truth is you just won't know until you find out. So I'm ready to see if one of those young guys can be what Etling isn't. And you got 2 weeks, guys. I mean, they've got Syracuse this week, Troy next week. You've got 2 weeks to figure out who you are and what you're going to be, because after that you got 7 straight SEC games. And if you don't figure out what ailed you in Starkville, I mean, the wheels falling off scenario is in play. So I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see Brennan and Narcisse the next 2 weeks to see if they're capable. And if they're not, play Etling. But if they are, well, you got your guy.
We'll take a break from Matt Moscona. We'll return to him in just a moment. Let me tell you, the podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer. They work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. They offer SEC-only full-season packages, complete rental packages, setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. October is going to be huge in the Grove. You want someone to set it up for you. You want 7 South Tailgating. If you use 7 South Tailgating for a season, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com, 662-321-1682. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Now back to the show.
You join them together each time. Where is Brennan and Narcisse as far as a depth chart? Who would get the opportunity? What do those two look like at this point in Ed's mind?
So Brennan's the guy, Chase. And truthfully, Narcisse isn't realistic because Brennan's already played in 2 games this year. Narcisse hasn't, and Narcisse didn't even travel to Mississippi
Gotcha.
State. They brought a former walk-on as the emergency quarterback. So the staff clearly intends to redshirt Lowell Narcisse. I just think that's a mistake.
Gotcha.
And people will say, yeah, well, you know, look at all the pressure Etling was under on Saturday, which is true. But Lowell Narcisse is an NFL athlete playing quarterback. He is the most physically gifted quarterback on the roster. What kind of dimension could it add to the offense if you had somebody that could take pressure off the offensive line by, number one, eluding a rush, and number two, manufacturing offense when plays break down? Danny Etling can't do that. The long run of his career is 18 yards. I know if you let Lowell Narcisse scat around and get loose, you're going to have a hard time corralling that kid because he's a freak. He's a great athlete. So let me see, man. Let me see if that guy can go get off against Syracuse or against Troy, or if the moment's too big for him. And if it is, stick with Etling. But if not, maybe you found something that can make this season what as of now it's not going to be.
I want to get your thoughts on Mississippi State in just a second because you watched that game and it with a discerning eye. But before I do, if the wheels came off this year, and obviously – Ed's going to get another season. But if the wheels came off this year, does he go in the next season in trouble? And how much of his future at this point is Joe Oliva tied to?
Oh, Joe's legacy is Ed Orgeron. And Oof. And Joe knows that too.
Oof.
So those two are forever tied. That's not even debatable. It's a rare day at LSU where you get to hire a quarterback or hire a coach, a head football coach. And to have gone through the mess they did trying to detach themselves from Les Miles only to hire his defensive line coach with the record he had, which we all know.
Ugh.
I mean, Joe Oliva took a major leap of faith, and we'll see if it pays off.
And Tom Herman's team looked a lot better 2 weeks later.
Did it?
It was almost like Tom Herman had coached them for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hey, Neil, you said that, not me. I don't want angry tweets and emails from LSU fans saying, why can't you let the Tom Herman thing go? That was Neil, not me.
Yeah, it's me, and I'll be the one to say it. You should have gotten it done.
Yeah.
You had Tom Herman. You had him on the hook. Reel him in. If it takes more money, it takes more money. You're LSU, for God's sake. You've got the money. That's why I was saying about Jeff Brohm a minute ago. Let's just say A&M decides it wants Jeff Brohm. Okay, he's got a $4.9 million buyout. Pay it. Kevin,
okay,
someone has a
right.
buyout. Pay it. I mean, it is what it is. If you're serious about winning and your guy is out there, you don't let your guy off the hook because your feelings got a little hurt. You just go get him. LSU's mistake,
yep.
Joe Oliva's mistake, very simply, they fired Les Miles in, what, late September?
Yep.
You had 2 months, 2 months where you had Ed Orgeron babysitting your team. 2 months to go get Tom Herman. Get it done. Get it done with the people around him. Get it done with his agents. Get it done with his wife. Get it done with every single person not named Tom Herman, so that the moment their game against Houston, Memphis ended, that moment, you're standing in the damn parking lot at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium, and you put the ring on his finger, and you take him to LSU, and you make him the guy. You never let Texas have a chance. That was the mistake.
Yeah.
And that's the mistake that's going to end up getting Joe Oliva fired. It should have been Duke Lacrosse that got Joe Oliva fired, but it's going to be Ed Orgeron.
Well,
that's me. You can feel free to play that on the Baton Rouge airwaves. I'll be happy to take the heat.
Well, it's nothing I haven't said already. So I just the but from where I sit on a daily basis, what's done is done, and it doesn't do me any good now to open that wound again. But everything you said, I agree with.
If it goes really bad, what happens?
If this year goes bad, Orgeron gets another year. And if next year goes bad, he gets 2019. But if you want this sort of serendipitous moment to look at into the future, 2019 has the potential for LSU to be sort of special. You look at the freshman class from this year, they've played 20 of their true freshmen already, and some of them are starting. I mean, you've got Miles Brennan theoretically as your quarterback waiting. You've got Calavon Chase on the outside linebacker. You've got Grant. You've started four true freshmen on defense. I mean, you've started two true freshmen on the offensive line at points. So this is a pretty special freshman class that LSU has, and in 2019 they'll be upperclassmen. You know, you would think theoretically that's going to be a squad. And in 2019, LSU goes to Austin to play Texas.
Ooh.
It that could be one way or another, a very serendipitous moment for both programs, quite honestly, when LSU goes to Austin in 2019, because Ed Orgeron will either have that moment where he's ascending with now his program and making them consistently a national contender and erasing all the questions people had about him from his time at Ole Miss, or Tom Herman's team will do just that and LSU will look across the field longing for what they had in their grasp and let go. It's going to be one or the other in 2019.
What did you think of Mississippi State?
They're a good team. You know, I don't want to be totally dismissive, Neil, but I like Nick Fitzgerald a lot. He struggles throwing the football. And you could look at a stat line, and sometimes that's deceiving. You know, Dan Mullen put him in advantageous situations to make easy throws, which is what, you know, good play callers should do. I like the fact that Fitzgerald can put his foot in the ground, change direction, and beat you with his feet, which he did to LSU. Which is so odd because they so successfully stopped Lamar Jackson from doing that in the bowl game and abandoned that plan, which worked so well in January. State doesn't really have dynamic athletes on defense, but I like Todd Grantham. He brings a lot of pressure. And speaking of that bowl game, Grantham was Louisville's defensive coordinator, and he gave Danny Etling issues that day. So Yeah, I think State's a good team. They're probably a team that loses three or four games in the league this year. Yeah, I don't think they're challenging Alabama. They might not even beat Auburn, but they're a good. It's a good Dan Mullen team. They're better than they were last year. They're not as poor in 2014. They're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I overreacted probably to State. I think they're better on defense than people are giving them credit for.
No, it's not their personnel, though, Neil. Like, I watched that defense. Aside from Jeffrey Simmons, like, I don't see a pro on that defense. And Jeffrey Simmons is a monster, but I don't see a pro on that defense other than Simmons. It's just
it's like Matt Moscona called Jeffrey Simmons a monster, not us. That was Matt Moscona.
I mean a monster on the field, not a monster in the sense that he beats up women in the parking lot and gets to play after sitting out one game. But he's a monster there, too. But Simmons is a legit first-round NFL talent.
Yeah,
there's nobody
pro.
Else in that defense that is. I like what Todd Grantham does in bringing pressure. He's a
– Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on a minute. You're saying you don't think Leo Lewis is a pro? LSU offered Leo Lewis $650,000 is what his mother said. Now, listen.
You think they really offered – how do you turn down $600K? That's what I don't
that's,
get.
That's impressive. That takes fortitude. That is fortitude.
That's where I think maybe she added a zero.
She said $650,000.
I know why. I read the same transcript. But if you're taking money from a school you're not even going to, that you don't even commit to because as you put it, someone offered the money and you were going to take it, you needed the money. How do you turn down $650,000?
Yeah, I don't know.
But, that's a lot of money. That's not a good business decision.
Have you ever been to Starkville?
Oh yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, the opportunity to go to school there, to matriculate there, that's worth so much more than $650,000.
I'm not trying to get into the Egg Bowl War over here between Ole Miss and Mississippi.
You've got your own issues, yeah.
Too many, quite honestly.
Hey, last thing.
Maybe Leo Lewis is an NFL player, but he didn't make a play against LSU. He was non-existent against LSU Saturday.
He had a busy week.
Yeah, Abram actually made more plays in the secondary than Lewis did at linebacker.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last thing, just real quick. They're recruiting like gangbusters in basketball down there.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? Will Wade is... Yeah, a colleague of mine said it this way, and I don't know that I've heard it said better, that at least in my lifetime or in my recollection, Will Wade has had a greater impact on any LSU program before coaching a game than any other coach in the history of LSU athletics.
Wow.
I mean, but think about this.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately think about this. LSU just had its worst basketball season in 50 years. Literally. They were 2-14 in the league. Literally their worst basketball season in 50 years. Half a century. They fire their coach. The roster is completely void of talent. There is nobody on that roster worth talking about. Especially after Antonio Blakeney went to the draft. You hire Will Wade. And Wade has nothing to sell. And he gets JUCO guys, grad transfers, somehow gets Tremont Waters, the highest rated remaining prospect, unsigned prospect, to sign and come to school now. And now he's gotten 2 5-stars for next year. And had they been able to get the grade stuff straight or the transfer stuff straight, he would have had another 5-star Mitchell Robinson in this class. I don't know what. I think Will Wade is a magician. I think he's putting hypnotic trances on all of these prospects when he talks to them because he has nothing to sell. He has nothing that he can point to and say, no, don't go to UCLA. Don't go to Kentucky. Don't go to Duke. Don't go to Kansas. Come to LSU, where we were 2-14 in a bad league last year. Come here and let me coach you. And they're buying. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know what he's telling recruits, but he's enacting his plan, and it's he's made LSU basketball legitimate. I don't know how many games they win this year, but he's certainly legitimized them far more than they were 6 months ago.
No arguing that. It's been noticeable from the outside, that's for sure. Well, hey, man, enjoy your day. Thanks for your time. I'm sure your radio show will be every bit as entertaining today as the one yesterday. It ought to be pretty easy to put it together.
It's going to be lively, friends. Appreciate you having me, as always.
Thanks, Matt. Talk to you soon,
Matt. Thanks for Matt for joining us this morning on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, a parent company of Right Way Meds. Talking about Sildenafil, it is the better, cheaper alternative to the little blue pill. It is not blue. It is a white pill that can be broken into four different parts. If you just like a quarter of the pill instead of the entire thing, if you just need a little pick-me-up instead of the entire thing, same length of effectiveness as the other guys. Just $10 a tablet instead of 50 or 60. They can even deliver it to you when you call Tyson Drugs at 662-252-2321 or go on their website at TysonDrugs.com and you fill out the form. You give them your doctor's name. They get the prescription ready. You can pick it up. Or, again, they deliver it to your door. So, Sildenafil, TysonDrugs.com.
You wouldn't really need a pick-me-up because it kind of can pick up for you, right?
That's what I'm saying. It just, it, like, you know, we mentioned blood pressure earlier in the show. It just gives a little, just a, you know.
A little surge.
Little, yeah, there you go.
I'm such a child. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team. They're looking for a surge. They're looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben Brown at journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today, Ben Brown at JourneyBizSolutions.com. The podcast also sponsored by State Farm agent Romero Miller, the former Ole Miss star, longtime contributor to RebelGrove.com, can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com. On Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm is located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number is 662-893-1212.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. Your local underwriting understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing. Neil's used them. I have two. You can even ask about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. Appreciate Matt joining us today. Full of opinions. Fun as always. Get him and Ryan Brown on frequently to discuss the two states to our left and our right. As it's going to be a kind of a wacky football season again. We'll table the college and NFL discussion for another day as things continue to blow up and get stupid. But anyway,
it's going to be a weird year.
It's going to be a weird year.
Truer words have never been spoken when I told you late December of last year I was in Chicago and this feeling came over me.
Yeah.
Remember this? I told you, we're about to have the weirdest year we've ever covered. I can feel it. It's like something's telling me, rest up.
Yeah, from the draft that night, you just sent me a text, and all it said was, I wouldn't worry about the game. I was covering Ole Miss LSU baseball. I was like, good point. Well, I've said this. It was the eeriest stadium because Ole Miss beats LSU on this night, and it's just kind of quiet. The whole stadium's on their phones and on Twitter and figuring out what in the world is going on, and it was just kind of dead. It was somber, if you would, in the stadium night. Yeah, on our topic as we move on, it wouldn't be a pick. You would want to. It's an increase in turgidity, right? That would be the phrase.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, is that where we're going? All right, so this hit Twitter yesterday. They're going to vote on it in these personality elections, as they're called, next week.
Okay.
By the way, the days you avoid campus as a student. They do that even when you're in school, too. The stupid things where you had to – probably didn't have stickers you had to put on then, but
– yeah, I just remember, like, having – like, when I was a freshman and you had to, like – you had to go work.
Okay.
And you had to hold up signs and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You had to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right. Still remember your secret handshake or whatever, though? Yeah.
I kind of do remember it because I jokingly had to do it the other day.
Oh, that's right.
It was funny.
That's right. You remember just enough of
it. Yeah. At least we were all laughing about it when we did it.
So,
yeah.
All right. So the ASB, Associated Student Body for Ole Miss, sent out a memorandum, maybe, a note, whatever you want to call it, from the desk of the president.
I think it was a memorandum.
So Dion Kevin III is the ASB president.
Okay.
Says, the University of Mississippi is an institution built on tradition, marked by symbols of school spirit like Hotty Toddy, Swayze Crazy, not aware of that one, but okay, Club Reb, Walk of Champions, and Fins Up. The Landshark, as we know today, has its origins in football, but it's since expanded to symbolize Ole Miss's fighting spirit and athletic prowess. It was started by Ole Miss defensive linebacker, just a linebacker, not defensive, bud, and military veteran Tony Fine in 2008 during our historic upset of the Tim, blah, 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 anyway. On September 26th, we had the chance to leave a legacy of unity and excitement in a referendum vote in this year's fall election, be part of the unifying student-driven movement, and make the Landshark the official on-field mascot of the Ole Miss Rebels by voting yes on your ballot next Tuesday. I support the Landshark, and I am an Ole Miss Rebel. Hotty Toddy, Dion Kevin III. I was around when this thing happened last time.
Okay.
Alex McDaniel makes a good point on Twitter, Oxford Eagle editor.
Yeah, I know Alex.
The context of everyone else.
Right.
Hey,
Alex.
She was very involved in covering the last time when they picked the bear over the land shark and something else. Wasn't it like, I don't remember.
The Akbar?
Well, but that wasn't actually a legitimate choice.
There was a lion.
It was a lion, I think. Because we're not talking about the first time when they did it over the bruiser-looking dude or the big rowdy rebel guy that was the 2003.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
That's
so, anyway.
I actually liked the – I'm the only person that liked the lion.
You like the lion?
Because I like lions. Lions are cool.
Okay. So, she says on Twitter yesterday that at that point when they did it and the students kind of did the same referendum thing, that Dan Jones was fully backing publicly this move. You know, that, like, hey, let's get behind it. The administration's behind it. Let's put this out. Let's vote. Let's make a decision. And, again, as of this morning, it is 9:19 as we're taping this second. At least I have not seen it, and Alex is talking about this as well. We haven't seen any administrative movement in this thing. We've only seen this ASB referendum. Well, that's
quote
not
– from Kyle Campbell yesterday.
What did he say?
That the it was for right now it was a student thing and that the athletic department will get involved at the appropriate time.
Yeah, at this point, because a referendum cannot actually change the on-field mascot. It can't. I mean, it's a vote, and it's a, hey, we think whatever. But so understand that premise first is
okay.
This is not a, hey, if it is yes by a 51% margin, they're going to trot a shark out here in a few weeks. That's not really what we're talking about here. Here's my issue.
Okay.
And I'm all I'm an incredible advocate for ASB learning process, student media where you make all these mistakes and you do these things, but you learn real-world principles.
Yes.
Love it. All about it. I mean,
sure.
You know, that's
what college should be.
Yeah. You get the ability to be stupid, make mistakes, but learn in the process, and maybe do some great work in the meantime as well.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing? Ole Miss just gave away $8 million in bowl revenue.
Yeah.
Dealt with a personal scandal for its head football coach that ended in resignation.
Yes.
Is in the middle of whatever this NCAA situation is.
That's true.
Has a football program they're having to rebuild on the defensive side of the ball and in other spots as well.
Yes.
The athletic budget as a whole is taking a hit in multiple ways.
Okay.
And for once, after all this time, nobody's talking about the stupid bear. Nobody's talking about a need for a different mascot.
I don't even know.
We're not discussing Colonel Rebel every day anymore.
Right.
We're not doing that. It finally got to the point where everybody just shut up. As we knew it would. Time passes. People's attitudes change.
Attention,
they worry about other crap.
Short. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You move on.
Now, hey, students holding big flags up. Let's go back and talk about it now. Fiscally, this is one of the dumbest things in the history of the world. They've done all this, and now look, I argue they haven't done enough. They're not selling bears. They're not doing enough to promote this bear from a fiscal standpoint.
Sure.
However,
because you can't like go to the bookstore and buy a stuffed rebel bear.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware.
I haven't ever gone to look. Yeah. I'm just curious.
It would take money to do this. You are solving something. You're solving a problem that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Let it go.
See what they ought to do with the bear. Frankly, that
put it everywhere.
Go into like partnership. Seriously, listen to me. With Build-A-Bear. Go into some little partnership thing and have a little Build-A-Bear station at the games and let little kids come up and build their own Rebel the Bear and dress him or her.
Cheerleading outfits, football uniforms.
Rebel the Bear girl.
Yeah.
And boy, have a boy bear and a girl bear. Arkansas has a boy hog and a girl hog.
Florida has Al and Allie or whatever.
I think Kentucky has a boy wildcat and a girl wildcat.
Do they?
And cash in! And you get heartstrings. And if you tie
cheerleading outfits, football uniforms, softball uniforms, basketball uniforms.
Absolutely. What's the, I always forget her name, the little pitcher, the pitcher for Ole Miss softball that was so charismatic.
Caitlin Lee.
I mean, you telling me little girls watch her pitch and don't want to look like her and be like her and dress their bear like her?
Put a visor on the bear?
Oh, absolutely. And you do two things. You make cash and you do the heartstring thing. And if you tie enough heartstrings, some won't make it. Some will get severed. But some will get so strong that those kids will go to your school no matter what. Because they just have such an attachment to
it. So my point being, while they're not doing enough, there's
but
no reason
there
to do
while.
This.
It's been there long enough now where people don't notice it anymore. No one's offended by the bear anymore. I'm sure there's some 80-year-old man who's offended by the bear, but let's get real.
When I see alumni, my buddies, and different people talking on Twitter, too, around my age, they're just disgusted by this. Can we just move on and stop? Can we quit?
Because they've accepted the bear.
Yeah, just stop. It's not a problem. I mean, it's – the other thing, too.
Because they're, you know what it is? It's their kids have gone to the games, and their kids like the bear.
And now, look, too.
Right?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that.
They like the bear. Hey, Dad, I like
it. Students should have a say in these things, no doubt.
Sure.
But they should not have complete say in these things.
So where's this going?
I remember when I was a student, I was really dumb. I thought I knew a lot of stuff, and I look back now and go, how did I put that in the paper and not get sued?
Yeah. So where's this going? Because you know it's going to pass.
They're going to vote yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to vote yes. So where's it go after that?
Oh, I have no idea. I know it's bad pod, but I frankly, you could tell me anything and I would believe you.
And look, I don't care. I don't know what a land shark is, a shark that walks on land, I suppose. You're going to scratch? Are you going to add a mascot or are you going to replace a mascot? Because if you're going to do the replace the mascot thing, I'm with my boy Parham here. You collection of idiots. You collection of idiots. Is a land shark a cooler mascot than the bear? Yeah, probably. But you're starting over? You're going to make more headlines? You're going to pull the bear off the field and replace it with the land shark? And when the six-year-old girl goes, well, why? Where's the bear, Daddy? Well, he got fired. They killed the bear off, Jenny.
The land shark thing developed organically, have no problem with it. Had it won, okay, fine. If there was a shark out there, I wouldn't care.
No, of course not.
Just leave it as is my point. I don't really care about the bear or the shark or a tiger or a lion or anything else.
I never understood why they didn't go, you know what, we picked the bear, all right? We picked the bear, and we're getting ready to really ramrod this thing down your
throat. But see, they didn't do that.
I know.
Backed off.
Scared. So scared that a handful of boosters might get offended.
The Build-A-Bear station is genius.
I know it is. Make money. Don't just – I would have by now – how long has it been? It's been years. I'd have so doubled down on that bear. That bear would have a girl bear running around too.
It was at least 2011, because that's when it put the box on its head against Louisiana Tech.
And I can hear people right now, you do too much of it and you're going to become the Bears. No, you're not. No, you're not. They've marketed Rebels everywhere. It's everywhere.
And
it's,
as much as they've marketed Rebels, they've marketed that stupid, or not stupid, but that old, I'm just mad at this point, but that Ole Miss script 1,000 times more.
I know everybody goes, there, you know, the next thing is Ole Miss. It's like they have spent so much money.
Millions of dollars on that
so
Ole Miss script.
So much money on the Ole Miss script that is everywhere. It's literally everywhere. No, they're not.
I'm amazed it's not on a baseball hat. Frankly.
It would take, let's just because it would be so busy. On
well,
that.
They might put that UM script on the baseball hat.
That's true. They're moving in that direction. But I'd, oh, there would be a, I would have called Build-A-Bear by now and we would have worked something out. Or I'd have, you know what? I wouldn't even go through Build-A-Bear. I'd just create a Build-A-Bear.
Just build your own bear. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to have a build a
we're going to stuff bears. They don't have a patented
you get to
on
make
stuff.
Your own, make your own bear.
Yeah.
You can make, and I would have had, Rebel would have had a girlfriend by now.
You've got Miss in your name figured out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was just kind of pointing that out, though, from an administrative standpoint. Alex's string of tweets yesterday. I'll read them out quickly here. She says, when the 2010 mascot referendum was scheduled, students had a full public backing of Dan Jones. Why haven't we heard from UM admin about the vote? Not to say they aren't supporting, but a student referendum alone cannot change the mascot, and they know that.
Well, you might not be able to read the memorandum because the
not here to speculate, and we've reached out, but it's strange for the decision makers to go silent on anything dealing with UM branding. And if an actual person crafted a PR campaign that even remotely suggested playing it casual about a mascot thing at Ole Miss,
you could have a bear. You could build the bear and put transition lenses on the bear. You could have Chancellor Bear. When your bear goes outside, its lenses get dark. And when your bear goes inside at nighttime, its lenses go light. Chancellor Bear. Everything doesn't have to be about sports. Sometimes you can have a bear who can make it all the way to the top of Beardom not knowing a damn thing about sports except maybe what's on a PowerPoint. You could do it. There's so much. You could have PowerPoint Bear. You could do so much with your bears. It's got so much potential if people would just embrace it and do it and make money. PowerPoint Bear.
There's a story.
You could have Booster Bear.
Yeah,
you could.
Well, I mean, we did hear about those shark-infested waters earlier in the day.
Yes,
so.
We did.
The 2 points.
Asian Massage Bear. Okay, I'm going too far.
All right.
See, there you go.
You get going, and it just Tourette's happens.
The transition.
The point being,
the
though, where
cool.
I agree with her.
Yeah.
Is in closing, and she says, my point, colon, this is a terrible time to needlessly poke a sleeping bear, pun kind of intended, with the flag and state issues still raging. Stop. It's fine. Just quit.
Amen.
Maybe the dude got elected on, hey, I'm going to change them. I don't know. But either way, stop.
Well, yeah, but that's like the – it's like you run for high school student body president. You
we're
going
to have better lunches and free Coke in the machines.
And you're not. And if people are dumb enough to vote on that, I mean, it's like we just built.
That's what I'm saying. There's some good things that gets done at ASB, and there's a lot of playing government done at ASB.
I mean, Donald Trump said we're going to build a wall. No, we're not going to build a wall.
Might build a wall.
They're probably not building a wall.
No,
and if we do,
they're building the wall for us.
Yeah,
you got this.
Mexico is going to pay for it. Now, come on. I mean, people do campaign promises all the time.
So, what's your guess?
Man,
is it going to fade into Bolivia, as Mike Tyson would say?
The Bolivia Bears.
There you go.
Maybe they're going to send the bear to Bolivia and get a shark, a land shark. I think it would be really stupid right now to open yourself up to be made fun of again.
Yeah,
the land shark thing is fine, the helmet thingy, whatever.
Although they've actually kind of stopped doing it, and every other school in the country appears to be doing it now.
Yeah, one kid for Ole Miss did it the other day.
Is it Hartsfield?
It's either Hartsfield or Evans. I think it was Hartsfield. Made a big play and land sharked.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem.
Maybe Marshall used to throw the shark up all the time.
And that was funny.
Yeah. Because
he did a spin from the
it was more of a rooster than a shark. But, yeah. Anyway. All right, we've got all the place today. Thanks to Matt for joining us here on the podcast.
At the end of this show, you just might need vitamin. It's very possible. The new address for Vitamin, 3010 Old Taylor Road, in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments, next to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. They still have the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added cryosauna, which is great for removing toxins, speeds up recovery from a workout, burns calories, so much more. They have the infrared sauna. It's not your typical dry sauna that gets as high as 200 degrees. This gets 130 to 140, so you can stay in there longer. It's almost like walking outside. We have they have combo packages. Detox the infrared, get fluids after. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend. They have a smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. It's the same number, 638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. IVs and shots are Friday through Sunday for now. Call ahead, make sure they have someone there. 662-638-3600, info@vitamend.com.
One more quick thing on this, as I was reading the story a second ago, university spokesman Ryan Whittington said the vote would be advisory and would not bind Chancellor Jeffrey Vitter. Whittington didn't say whether the university administration has a preferred outcome. This referendum is a student-led initiative being conducted through the ASB process. We will not speculate on the outcome of the process. We value the important role the students play as an active voice in the life of our campus community. We're always interested in the viewpoints of the students, leaving a lot of out there to be able to just ignore it if so desired. I don't think anybody's going to do anything crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, they did get a quote, though. The Daily Journal I'm reading from now. They did get a quote from the Colonel Reb Foundation student chairman, so I'm sure he said some enlightening things.
What did he say?
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
You curious now?
Oh, fascinated.
We agree the Black Bear is an embarrassment and a failure, but using another closed process and a fake election to force their previously failed choice on students won't solve anything. Colonel Reb Foundation calls for the ASB Senate to give us our true mascot choice in this election. Colonel Reb, or add none of the above as an option for Ole Miss students. It's actually better than I expected it to be. Yes? You done?
The people that are hanging on to that. You're not getting that back. Nor should you at this point in time.
All right. More on the week at rebelgrove.com. We've got stuff from the press conference availability yesterday. We might get to that tomorrow. We just kind of moved in other directions today. But anyway.
They don't play football this week.
Yeah, it's
none
a bye
of the injuries
week.
Are, none of the injuries are major.
We'll revisit next week, say where they are. That's where it is.
Basically, there's a decent chance that Sean Rawlings is out for the Alabama game.
Yeah, because one quick thing here, a sprain is technically a tear.
Yes.
So there is
surgery.
A tear. Yeah.
They had to do surgery. It's not major surgery. It's easy for me to say. It's not my ankle. But Sean's going to be immobilized for a while. You'd be crazy to rush that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not beating Alabama with Sean Rawlings. So why go out there and get him lost for 6 weeks?
Yeah, rest it, get it right.
Get right.
See where you are. All right.
Send the note across the field early that says, "Hey, can we make it? Can we reach a brokered truce?"
We will have more at the site of rebelgrove.com. I'll talk to you tomorrow.